leaning on the sundial. She seems slightly taller. Her hair has been hacked short. She's got smudged eye makeup on and smeared lipstick. She looks cold and very messed up.
I don't like it at all. It's stopped. It's not going anymore. I hate it, and I hate you. I should never have trusted you. If you weren't my brother, I'd make it so you could never get out of my world. So when you thought you were out of my world, you'd just be further in. Maybe I will. Have you ever gone mad, Dream? I could do that. I could do it if I wanted. You aren't even wearing your helm.
Ugh. Delirium drops to sit at the base of the sundial, utterly drained.
Hush, little sister.
Go away.
If that is what you wish, then I will go away. But first, if I may, I would talk with you. I wish to apologize. You felt impelled to seek out our brother, and you came to me for assistance. Although I accompanied you, I had no interest in your search. I traveled with you through the waking world because I hoped, foolishly, perhaps on reflection, to encounter a young lady with whom I had earlier had a parting of the ways. She had returned to the waking world, and traveling with you gave me an excuse. I was not seeking our brother. When I realized that our quest was having repercussions, I deemed it sensible to call it off. I did not do this with ill will, my sister, but because I felt that traveling further could only have worsened matters. Since then, I have thought about this, and I have made a further inquiry of my own. If you are willing to travel with me, I would resume our journey together.
Dream? Do you like me?
Yes. I suppose I must do, Delirium. You entertain me, and it distresses me to see you troubled.
Really?
Really.
Well, I like you too, I think, when you don't tease me. So let's go and find him properly this time. Ready or not, here we come.
The villa is bathed in sunlight, high on its hill, overlooking the sea. Destruction walks home, up the track, carrying several bags of groceries. Barnabas waits for him, outside the door, his tail wagging.
Where have you been?
Down to the village, getting some provisions in.
Did you happen to get any salami?
Possibly.
Any chocolate?
It's not good for you.
I like chocolate.
You're a dog. You like everything. Tomatoes, cheese, onions, eggs, olives, rice, eggplant. Mind those.
Ah! What did you get all that food for?
Has it ever occurred to you, Barnabas, that cooking is one of the fine arts?
Not that I recall, no.
It is. One takes raw materials, and one transforms them by the simple application of a knife, some heat, some judicious mixing, into something miraculously other.
You've never cooked anything as long as I've known you.
Haven't I?
No. How am I going to get any of this heavenly repast once it's complete?
That depends on how it turns out.
This is another one of your ideas, isn't it? Like that thing you left in the garden.
Thing? Thing? Barnabas, that thing is a sculpture.
What of? A big rock with holes in it?
I'll tell you what, Barnabas. The hammer and chisel are outside in the hall. There's another marble block upstairs. Why don't you do your own sculpture, and I'll laugh at what you make.
Leaving aside the issue of hands, I have no desire to ruin a perfectly good piece of marble. That thing in the garden is a shapeless mess. Dogs have more sense. We don't make fools of ourselves like you do.
Of course you don't.
Some of us, after all, have dignity. You know there have been more crashings and bashings and bubblings from the fish pond in that back room of yours.
I'm sure there have been, and it's not a fish pond. Now, what could I have been thinking of? Ah! I did buy some chocolate after all.
Really?
It's not good for you.
You said that already. Just one square.
Okay, okay. Sit. Now beg. Here you go.
Chocolate. That was fun. Can we do it again, please? Come on, please.
Leave me to cook, Barnabas. A culinary artist needs genius, inspiration, and a dog-free kitchen.
So you'll settle for one out of three, huh?
Barnabas!
All right, all right.
In the formless grey mist between worlds, a cold wind is blowing. Morpheus stands here, wearing his customary black. Next to him, Delirium hugs herself. Her hair is short on top, but getting long at the back.
I'm cold. I hate being nowhere. Let's go somewhere instead.
Very well.
I still have my envelope with the list of names, but I don't know where Etain is. And the alderman's gone to be no one for a bit. He won't talk to us. And the others are sort of dead. My envelope isn't any good anymore.
There are places to look. We will find him. Let us leave this place. We shall seek answers. But we may also seek questions.
Oh. Dream, I wish you'd tell me what was going on. Don't treat me like I don't matter. You mustn't do that anymore.
Very well. This is a family matter. We shall take it to the family.
All of them? You're going to call a meeting?
No.
Then who? Desire said no. And Despair told me, no, I won't help you. She said it.
Our elder brother.
Destiny. Oh, okay. Are we going to your gallery?
No, we can walk there.
But we'll need a thing. With all the wiggly thingies coming out of it. A labyrinth.
Yes. Would you like to find one? Or shall I?
Can I? Really?
Certainly.
Delirium closes her mismatched eyes. Whisper, a flutter, and silence falls once more between the worlds. Around them, children run and shout, and adults walk. There are carnival booths, balloons, cotton candy, hot dogs, a huge Ferris wheel, whirling rides, noise and sunshine. No one sees them. No one touches them. No one knows that they are even there at all.
The Sandman, Act 3, Episode 10. Brief Lives, Part 7.
Cooking considered as one of the fine arts.
My envelope isn't any good anymore.
Where all mazes meet.
The other side of the coin.
Life as a glass of bitter wine.
Cherries are counted and a bargain is made.
An unlikely growth.
Get your tickets here for the Crazy Maze. If you go in, you may never come out. Don't go in if you're in a hurry.
Yes, ma'am. You and the kid, that'll be $2.
Is this, okay?
This is perfectly satisfactory, my sister.
Oh, good.
Morpheus and Delirium walk unseen past the ticket booth to the maze entrance.
Taylor, we lost you.
Turn.
They walk through the maze, which is little more than high, boarded walls with gaps here and there.
Right. Your other right.
But all labyrinths are one labyrinth.
Left.
All mazes meet in the center.
Right.
There is a portion of space that all labyrinths share.
Left.
A space common to every place in which paths fork and join.
Very good. Left.
And diverge once more.
Turn.
One by one, the other maze walkers become transparent and vanish. Slowly, the high wooden walls begin to change their shape, to spread out, to branch, and to diverge. The walls become green hedges. Trees arch overhead. Odd items of statuary begin to occur.
Right. Left. Right again.
They step into a patch of mist. Above them, carrion birds caw and shriek, and then are silent forever. Briefly, it is night, and the sky is hung with stars. Then dawn begins to lighten the sky. They cross a river, their feet trip-trap across the little wooden bridge. They keep walking. An old red sun hangs low in the grey sky. This is not Earth. This is not now. This is Destiny's Garden that is a place to itself and exists in its own time. Paths connect and diverge in this place. Black canals of dark and reflecting water cut through its formal pillars, statues, arches, and paths which fork and fork and fork. Thin tendrils of mist drift across the lonely landscape. This is a place beyond time and beyond imagination.
Left here.
Dream respects his brother, but the Garden of Destiny disturbs him. It is usual, however, for the endless to feel uncomfortable in each other's realms. Only death travels wheresoever she must, without misgiving.
And fork to the right here.
The Garden of Destiny. Look behind you. Shadow plays of memory are forever being enacted on paths you walked too long ago. Look ahead of you. The way is shrouded by mist.
Jane, look. Is that me?
Yes, it is you. You a very long time ago.
The statue looks like a child princess from an illustration in an old storybook. Yet the few clothes it wears look futuristic, made of shimmering metallic stuff. She is beautiful, very happy, and yet almost transparent, holding out her arms around which strange little bird-like creatures flutter. Jewels are scattered, hanging in the air from her hands.
I was very pretty.
Yes. Yes, you were.
I remember that day. Dancing men came to me from a far world, bringing tribute of birds and flowers and fine gems. They were grateful for... for what?
Happiness, perhaps.
Something like that. Oh.
Yes, you two arrive here. Now. Welcome to my garden.
Hi.
Destiny of the Endless is tall, dusty, and grey-robed like a monk his hood pulled so far over his thin, sculpted face that his eyes are just shadows within it. In one arm is the great brass-bound book, which is chained to his wrist for all time.
It is good to know that we were expected, my brother. I take it you also know why we are here.
Indeed.
In the instant of Destiny's arrival, Morpheus's clothes become a formal robe, his cloak clean and intact again. On large stone plinths behind the three of them are huge marble statues, 30 feet high, ancient, wind-eroded effigies of the Endless. There is Destiny. Death in a fine robe. Morpheus in formal garb. Destruction in armor with his back turned. Desire in a classic robe. A naked despair. And Delirium in her fishnet ensemble.
Well, will you assist us? Will you offer us advice?
Certainly.
Really? Oh, wow.
Seeing the huge statue of herself, Delirium wanders away to sit on its plinth.
However, the advice I offer is not the advice you desire, Dream.
Give me your advice, my brother.
Very well. Forget this foolishness. Drop it. Go home. Our brother told us that he was leaving us. He advised us to leave him be. Until now, you have been content to respect his wishes. Do likewise in the time to come.
I cannot do that, my brother, as well you know.
I know. And I am sorry.
Will you tell us where to find him?
I am Destiny. I am what must happen, will it or no. And I am your brother. If I could live your life for you, I would. But that is not within my power.
Life, brother. It's a strange way of describing our existence. Is there naught else you can tell me?
Nothing you would want to hear. She does not love you, and truly she never did. She will not change her mind, no matter how long nor how deeply you wish that this were the case. You will see her but one more time, long after all this is over, and the outcome of that meeting will not be satisfactory for either of you.
I did not wish to be told that.
You asked me to tell you what you needed to know, not what you wished to hear.
I did.
Well and all. And while you are prince of those symbols and shapes that mean other than they seem, of metaphor and of illusion, my dominion is that which is, of actions and consequences and paths. But I can neither live your life for you, nor shoulder your responsibilities.
You will not tell me where our brother is to be found?
I may tell you only what others have told you. You need an oracle.
There are no oracles who can tell of our family.
You thought of one when you spoke to the cat goddess, did you not? There is, after all, an oracle who is of the family.
No.
Good. That is a far more sensible attitude.
Dream? What's he saying?
Delirium, having re-engaged with the conversation, drifts back to them, floating in the air.
What did you tell him?
Surely that is his affair, not yours.
Do you know why I stopped being Delight, my brother? I do. There are things not in your book. There are paths outside this garden. You would do well to remember that.
It is refreshing to see you so collected.
Stick it. Coins have two sides. Destruction told us that when he told us he was leaving. But I knew it already. You did too.
Destiny has turned his back and walks away into the mist. Morpheus has sunk to his knees, wrapping his arms around himself, defeated. Delirium touches his shoulder, leaning over to look into his face.
Dream, What did he tell you?
Delirium.
It's still me.
But...
if you're going to fall apart, then one of us has to keep this thing going.
But...
please get up. I don't know how much longer I can be like this. It hurts very much, Lee.
Your eyes... are the same color.
So, I can do that. I can do that if I have to.
Well, my sister... shall we continue on our way?
Yes, please. Where are we going now?
To seek an oracle.
Destiny turns and watches his sister and brother as they vanish from his garden. A low wind comes up and stirs the corners of the pages of his book, then gusts suddenly. The wind lifts the pages, flips and turns them, returning him to a chapter he read last almost 300 years before. In Destiny's garden, it is always now. Three 300 years ago, in the Great Hall of the Citadel of Destiny, destruction has gathered the family together at the great seven-sided table. Destiny's ghost servants flit and flap among them, bringing wines and fruit from his garden. Destruction tells them he is leaving, that they are not to follow him, that they must no longer consider him one of the endless. Each sibling reacts in its own fashion. Destiny watches Destiny, with perhaps some small approval, appear calm and unsurprised. Death says nothing. Dream blusters. Desire smirks, as if Desire cherishes elegant secrets behind their tawny eyes. Despair pleads with him to reconsider, and Delirium...
what?
Delirium, dressed as a street urchin, says nothing. She sips the wine of Destiny and makes a sudden face as if it has unexpectedly become quite bitter. But the wine of Destiny is very fine. The pages turn again. It is 1916. The Dream King is returning, in triumph of a kind, from a far galaxy, wearing his helm of glass and metal and bone, the great ruby around his neck, his robe torn and ragged. He is tired beyond reckoning and tried beyond all endurance. His triumph is short-lived. From the darkness, old voices call to him. And he awakes in a glass prison, in a deep cellar. The pages turn. All times are now. The pages turn, though no hand touches them, and Destiny makes no effort to prevent them from turning. A 100 years before, by the Yangtze River, Death spends her day mortal walking under the hot sun with a young ox drover, who tells the little peasant girl his grand schemes and plans. At nightfall, her hands seek his, and they sit and wait by the vast, slow river, two young people, hand in hand beneath the myriad stars. The pages turn, and gust, and turn. First one way, then another. There is blood on the white marble throne of the Dream King. Something has died here. The Corinthian stands behind it, his clothes torn, with red, wet, bloody tears dribbling from his eye mouths. The Dream King looks up, slowly, and speaks to him. He is dressed entirely in white. His hair is white.
Oh, it's you.
Destiny reaches for the book, and his lean fingers calm the nervous pages, find his place once more. He reads,
"It is late afternoon when they reach the island."
It is late afternoon when they reach the island, and the warm air smells of pine needles and the sea. Morpheus and Delirium walk up the small path winding along the cliff edge, the sea beyond them. Their path leads to the little white temple with its dome roof.
So, this oracle, is this someone you know?
Yes.
Is this someone I know too?
Yes.
Oh, look, a poppy.
Delirium's hair has grown out. It is long, red, unbrushed. She picks the poppy. They walk.
Is it somebody very old?
No.
Have you ever spent days and days and days making up flavors of ice cream that no one's ever eaten before? Like chicken and telephone ice cream?
No.
The poppy grows wings and flies away.
Why don't you want to see this person?
Because I gave my word I would not.
Who did you give your word to?
To myself.
Oh.
You two, stay where you are!
The boy looks scared. He holds a gun.
How did you get up here?
We walked.
You cannot have walked here.
Nevertheless, we walked.
But I'm a really good driver.
Hey, no lies. If you climb the cliff, then I know about it. Now, how did you get up here? The truth this time.
I do not lie.
Wait here. Stay very still. One false move and I will shoot you. Hello, father.
Yo?
We have people up here. Two of them. A man and a woman.
Who are they?
They will not tell me.
Tourists who got lost?
I don't think so.
Can you keep them there? We're coming.
Yes. I'll wait here.
What's a false move? Is it very different from a real one? Green Mouse ice cream was the worst. I didn't like that at all.
Hey! Who are you?
Andros looks tired, hot and uncomfortable. His moustache is drooping.
How did you get up here?
We walked the path.
There is no path that leads up here.
There are a number of paths that lead to this place. I have been avoiding them for some small while now.
We started out in a maze place, and then we went to my brother's garden, and then we came here, and it was one path. And we had a car before that, and I was a really good driver. And before that, I was sitting in a door, and it was raining real water.
I have come here to speak to my son. Please, lead me to him.
Your son?
I believe he is here.
Andros, what tongue do you hear when they talk?
They are speaking Greek, Chris.
Chris is 40 years old, tall, black, his hair in corkscrew coils. He arrived here while on the run from Vietnam. He met a local girl. The boy is his son.
And you, son?
They speak Greek, Papa.
And I hear them speaking English.
You hear what you need to hear. Now, take me to my son.
Are you Apollo?
I am your charge's father. Take me to him.
Andros.
Our Lord talked to me this morning. He warned me that today might prove an unusual day. He did not say how unusual. Follow me.
The temple is a small, round building, like an observatory made of white marble, with a domed roof. There are marble pillars on either side of the arched entrance. Andras leads Morpheus and Delirium to the cherry tree nearby.
Shall I show you in?
That will not be necessary. I have no desire to do this, my sister.
I know. I'm sorry.
Morpheus walks to the doorway in the temple. Inside, it's dark. He takes one last look over his shoulder at his sister, then goes inside. Delirium is picking a handful of cherries from the cherry tree. A small butterfly passes. She sits down on Lady Johanna Constantine's headstone, eating cherries, saving the stones. She counts the cherry stones in the palm of one hand with the index finger of the other.
Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, rich man, poor man, bigger man. More cherries.
She picks more, eating them as she goes. She lies down on the grass, setting out the new cherry stones to be counted.
Elf Lord, Ivy, Vinegar, Toad, Virgin, Pilgrim, Kangaroo. Oh, hey.
We have spoken. It is done.
You talked to him.
Indeed. As he talked to me.
Did he tell you?
Where our brother is, yes. He told me.
Morpheus and Delirium stand by Lady Johanna's grave. Most unusually, he puts a brotherly arm around her shoulder.
Did it, cost you anything?
It cost me a great deal, but no, not directly, not now. But I owe my son a boon in return.
Are you okay? You're shivering.
I find that difficult to believe, my sister. I am in perfectly fine spirits. After all, the penultimate step of our quest has been concluded.
And nobody else got killed or exploded or anything.
As you say. Lady Joanna Constantine, born 1760, died 1859. Be to her virtues very kind, be to her faults a little blind.
Morpheus manifests a white rose in his right hand. He drops it gently onto the grave.
Is it a long way to where our brother is?
No, not far.
The sun is low in the sky as Morpheus and Delirium follow Chris along the beach from the cliff path leading from Orpheus's temple. From the fishermen's cottages at the water's edge, a group of locals watch. Among them is Andras and a young black girl, Chris's daughter. At the bottom of the beach, a small rowing boat has been pulled up. Chris helps Morpheus and Delirium climb in. Chris pulls at the rowing boat's oars, and they head across the bay. Morpheus sits stiffly upright in the boat, stony-faced, while behind him Delirium trails her hand over the side. On the distant clifftop promontory across the bay is a single villa and some gardens. The sun is setting, and the colours of the sky and water are magnificent. Morpheus looks apprehensive and worried. Delirium darts a glance up at him, biting her lip, concerned. On the beach at the foot of the headland, they climb out of the boat.
Just take that path to the top.
Thank you, Chris.
Morpheus and Delirium walk up the pathway to the top of the hill. The sun is setting.
Hello, doggy. You're a very nice doggy, aren't you? Yes, you are. The cherrystones say I'm going to be a kangaroo when I grow up. What's your name, then?
His name's Barnabas. Well, come up here then, you two, where I can see you properly.
They reach the top.
Let me look at you.
Destruction has grasped Delirium by each shoulder with his huge hands, picking her up to look into her mismatched eyes. She is limp as a kitten picked up by its mother.
Pretty as ever you were, by my troth. And yes, I do believe you've grown.
Maybe.
But you, my brother, you also seem different. Perhaps you too have grown.
It is not likely.
No. Stranger things have happened. And let us repair inside. It gets chill here of a sudden when the sun goes down. You must have traveled a long way. To be honest, I was expecting you to arrive a little earlier. But no matter. The Dalmades may be a trifle cool, but they'll be none the worse for that, eh?
You were expecting us?
I'm afraid so. I'm sure we have much to discuss, so please take a seat. I've made dinner. Well, help yourselves to anything on the table, please. It's here to be eaten.
The Sandman, Act 3, Episode 11. Brief Lives, Part 8.
Journey's End. Brains, a heart, a ride in a balloon. Dinner. Something new. The illusion of permanence. A wreath of bright stars. Echoes of darkness. Up. Out.
Destruction's dining room is small, lit by a single oil lamp over a table set for three, which bears serving dishes loaded with olives, cheese, stuffed vine leaves, and other local treats. Morpheus sits at one side, his expression wary. He doesn't seem to be planning to eat anything. Delirium is at the head of the table, leaning her head on her hands. Destruction grabs a serving spoon and a plate of tarama salata.
So, I expect you're all wondering why I called you here this evening.
You called us here?
Well, no, not really. That was more in the way of a joke, I suppose. To set you at ease, I mean, I knew you were coming. That was why I made dinner. Retsina, anybody?
This tastes like bathroom cleaner.
Try some of the little meatballs. I'm rather pleased with the way they came out.
You created all this?
Not the raw ingredients. I purchased them down at the village, but I turned them into the meal on the table.
He grew the herbs himself, though, in the garden.
Hello, doggy.
He planted the seeds and everything came up, except the basil.
And the chives.
And the chives.
But that was because somebody decided that the chive patch was an ideal location for bone burying.
And somebody said he wouldn't keep going on about a perfectly understandable mistake that anyone could have made.
Yuck.
My brother, we are together here on family business. I confess, I do not feel it to be entirely appropriate for your associate to be present.
No. And do you also feel the same way about Barnabas, my sister?
Barnabas?
Me.
I met you on the hill, didn't I, doggy? When I was coming here, wasn't that you and not another doggy?
Ah, yes. You must have grown on a particularly penetrating and incisive branch of the family tree.
Oh, I like you. You mustn't make the doggy go away, Dream.
Very well. If the dog remains silent, then it may stay. Although it may repeat nothing it hears in this place, neither to man, nor animal, nor any other kind of creature.
But...
Shh, doggy.
Never mind, Barnabas. It'll do you good to sit and listen for a while. Have some salad, at least, Dream.
I did not come here seeking food, my brother.
No, you came here seeking me.
It was me that thought of it. I thought of it in my head. I thought I missed you. And I thought if we went to find you, then we'd find you, and that would make everything always better forever.
Delirium's hair reshapes and colors itself as she speaks. It becomes shorter at the sides with a collapsed, rainbow-colored Mohican crest on top. As it looked when their quest began.
So I went and looked for you, and first of all, Desire was at this party, and she said she wouldn't help, and the despair showed me her rats, and she had a sad man in the mirror, but she wouldn't come with me. And I went to see Dream, but first I went home and cried a little bit. So I went to see Dream, and I thought he'd say no, but he gave me little chocolate lovers, and he said okay. And we saw this traveling man, and I made little frogs, and this lady wanted my name, and I went on an airplane.
Her hair grows out again, pointing vertically upwards, like a multicolored flame.
I like airplanes. I like anywhere that isn't a proper place. I like in-betweens. There was a lady named Ruby, only she got burned all up, but that was later. And there was a lawyer, too, but he got all burned up, too. I mean, he got squashed. And the Etain lady ran away because her house went boom and the alderman wasn't in the world anymore. And I found Tiffany and she was with the dancing lady.
The hair drops to her shoulders and turns red again, looking as it did when they arrived at Destruction's villa.
And then I did driving and I was really good. Then we went to the dancing lady and Dream talked to her and I made this man give Tiffany all his dollars. Then we went away. Then Dream said he wouldn't go with me anymore and I went home and cried a little bit. And then he said he was sorry and really he would come with me again because I don't remember or something. And that he'd be nice to me. Friends. Then we went to nowhere, and then we went to the fair, and then we went to Destiny's Garden, and then Dream went all spoggly, and I had to put me all... I had to be... Oh, it hurt. Then we went over there, and I ate some cherries, and the stone said I was going to be a kangaroo when I grow up, and then we came here. So it was me. That's all.
As she says... We have been looking for you for some small time now.
Please, eat something. I spent most of today cooking for you both, after all.
Delirium takes a plate. She piles up food into a wobbly tower.
So, how are the family? Must be, what, 300 years?
The family? Little has changed since last we were together. Destiny is unchanged. Our older sister is, well, Desire is... Desire is Desire. I have seen them all recently, and when last I saw Despair, she stated that she missed you.
Poor Despair. I remember when first she assumed the mantle of Despair. When first she became Desire's twin.
I don't think it was, easy for her.
It was not easy for any of us. It was the only time one of the Endless had been destroyed. That another aspect of one of us had reassumed the position... We all had much to adjust to.
Yes, but that was why I eventually chose the course of action that I did. After all, it wouldn't have done for another version of me to have been dumped into the same mess all over again.
You abandoned your responsibilities.
So you said 300 years ago.
They're all just like they were. The family, not changed, but it's not the same. Not without you.
I'm sorry.
It used to be better. You used to make everything nice.
I made my decision. I can live with it. Well, it looks like neither of you are interested in the dinner I made you. Is there anything else you were after? Brains? A heart? A ride in a balloon?
Mortal food has never held much attraction for me, brother.
I had some cherries before I came. From a tree. They were all over it. Have you really got a balloon?
I'm afraid not, lass. It was by way of being a figure of speech. I suppose what I meant was, well, you came looking for me. You've found me. Now what?
Now we found you, you'll come back, won't you? and everything will be all right, and the family will be back and all together, and we'll talk and like each other again.
I see. And you, Dream, why did you come looking for me?
I came because I wished to. Initially, perhaps because our sister desired company on the road. I had other reasons. Later, it became a matter of honor. There was a woman named Ruby who died because we looked for you. She knew nothing of our quest. It was not just that she should die.
300 years ago, you would have told me that she was simply mortal and would have died later had she not died then.
I doubt I have changed that much.
Whatever you say, my brother. Here you go, Barnabas. If no one else is going to eat the meatballs, I'm sure you'll appreciate them. I suppose I had vaguely hoped that you had changed, my brother. That you'd noticed that there were other people in the world. That you had begun to see people as other than things that dream. As creatures of stories.
You like those meatballs, doggy.
I have never needed you to instruct me on my duties, brother. Now I would hazard less than ever. I still perform my responsibilities, after all.
I don't. Not anymore. But you know that.
And what of your realm?
I'm sure it's still there. In its fashion. People and things are still created, still exist, are still destroyed. They tear down, they build. Things still change. The only difference is that no one's running it anymore.
Destruction points casually at the pile of food on Delirium's plate.
It's nothing to do with me any longer. It's there.
The little tower of food collapses.
They can make their own destruction. It's not my responsibility. And it's not my fault.
Have you been here all along?
On the island? No. Just a few years. I've been all over. As a private individual, so to speak. I helped build a cathedral in New York. I fought for pay in Africa. I've worked as a pavement artist in London. And as a street artist in Paris. I spent an enjoyable month forging cave paintings for a Spanish town that needed tourists. And a dull decade helping dig the Panama Canal. Aren't either of you going to eat anything? I made baklava for dessert. And there's coffee.
How did you know we were coming?
Oh, I set up certain mechanisms when I left my realm for the last time. Nothing fancy. There's a scrying pool out back. It tells me if anyone's looking for me in my late capacity. There are also certain automatic functions that I set in place just before I left, to impede anyone who might actually try to come after me.
These functions you mention, might they have caused damage to those from whom we sought help on our way here?
I am afraid so. There was nothing I could do about it. Nothing I could do to stop it happening once you began to look for me. Not without resuming my function once more.
But the people who were hurt, some of them had been your friends.
One of them was once my lover. Oh, but you didn't know about that, did you? Here you go, my little sister. Greek coffee. Don't drink the sludge at the bottom of the cup.
Oh, thank you.
And don't drink the cup either. Just the coffee.
Okay.
Here, your coffee. How did you find me in the end?
In the end? I spoke to my son.
Young Orpheus? I liked him. I thought about visiting him, walking over and just saying hello. But, no. He's still family, after all. Anyway, I thought you two weren't talking.
We haven't been.
But you went and spoke to him because of me.
Yes.
I'm flattered. Maybe something constructive has come out of this little jaunt of yours after all. The last time I saw him, he reminded me of you. A romantic fool, self-pitying, but with a certain amount of personal charm. That was shortly after his young lady had met with her Misfortune, of course.
You sent him to see our sister.
It was what he wanted.
He was a child. He did not know what he wanted. It is something he has since had time to regret. My brother, how could you leave?
How? Or why?
Ugh. It makes no difference.
Because there's no such thing as a one-sided coin. Because there are two sides to every sky. Destruction did not cease with my abandonment of my realm. No more than people would cease to dream should you abandon yours. Perhaps it's more uncontrolled, wilder. Perhaps not. But it's no longer anyone's responsibility. I took my sigil with me. I did not pass it on. As this universe came into being, destiny came with it. Alone in the darkness. Before the first living thing came into existence, our sister Death was there, waiting.
And when the first living thing awoke to life, I was also there. You tell me nothing new.
I'm trying, my brother. It was getting you to listen to anything new that I always had problems with. Let's go outside, into the garden. It's a warm night, after all.
Destruction, carrying an oil lamp, leads Morpheus outside. Delirium follows, with Barnabas the dog. A swarm of multicolored fireflies greets them. Overhead, the night sky is overwhelming, a dark blue-purple dome spangled with stars, planets, and constellations.
I like the stars. It's the illusion of permanence, I think. I mean, they're always flaring up and caving in and going out. But from here, I can pretend. I can pretend that things last. I can pretend lives last longer than moments. Gods come and gods go. Mortals flicker and flash and fade. Worlds don't last. And stars and galaxies are transient, fleeting things that twinkle like fireflies and vanish into cold and dust. But I can pretend.
Destruction sits on the grass, placing the lamp nearby. Morpheus settles to one side of him, Delirium to the other.
Do neither of you ever just sit and remember? Just think back on times gone. All the living things whose lives you've touched. All the planets and spaces and planes you've seen. All the forms you've taken. Just sit and think.
Oh, my brother, why did you leave?
He told you that already, Dream. Because there's no such thing as a one-sided coin.
Delirium is making a little animal with wings, which Barnabas is staring at, puzzled.
It's an aardvark. Does the fur go on before the flesh or after?
Afterwards, normally.
Ah.
Isn't it a wonderful night? It reminds me of something our sister Death once said to me.
And what was that?
It was a long time ago. A long way from here. There were rather more stars in the sky. And we met under the jeweled waterfalls. And we walked. And I told her how small I felt. How I wished I knew more, I suppose. We were looking up at the constellations. The Diamond Girl. The wreath of bright stars. The Crucible. It didn't matter that. In some sense, I was everywhere. Nor that I was more powerful than, well, practically anything. I still felt tiny. I felt insignificant. And she looked at me. You know her look.
Everyone can know everything Destiny knows, and more than that.
More than destiny?
We all not only could know everything, we do. We just tell ourselves we don't to make it all bearable.
It sounds unlikely.
That was what I said to her. I said, if they do that, why do they keep wandering around, falling down manholes, tripping on banana skins? Why does it seem like none of us, endless or mortal, ghost or god, knows what we're doing?
And she said?
I told you. She said everyone knows everything. We just pretend to ourselves we don't. I never knew what to make of that.
Delirium sits, scratching Barnabas's belly. He is rolled on his back, looking up at the multicolored fireflies that surround them. The little aardvark she made dangles from a piece of string in her hand. It looks rather puzzled.
Death is, right, kind of. Not knowing everything is all that makes it okay, sometimes.
Will you return? Will you reassume your role once more?
Of course not.
I thought you would.
I'm sorry, lassie.
But you are of the endless. We have responsibilities. You are the embodiment of destruction. You are of the endless.
The endless? The endless are merely patterns. The endless are ideas. The endless are wave functions. The endless are repeating motifs. The endless are echoes of darkness and nothing more. We have no right to play with their lives, to order their dreams and their desires. And even our existences are brief and bounded. None of us will last longer than this version of the universe.
Except our sister.
So you suppose.
I filled my role more than adequately for over 10 billion years. A two-sided coin. Destruction is needed. Nothing new can exist without destroying the old.
Destruction gets up, gesturing down at the lamp. It flares up as he speaks, the flame rising to head height.
Things are created. They last for some little while. And then they are gone. Empires, cities, poems and people, atoms and worlds. One cannot begin a new dream without abandoning the last. Hey, brother. Our sister defines life, just as despair defines hope, or desire defines hatred, or as destiny defines freedom.
The sudden flame from the lamp withers and dies, leaving only a wisp of smoke in the darkness.
And what do I define by this theory of yours?
Reality, perhaps. There are rather a lot of stars, aren't there?
I could never leave my realm. It's got all my things in it.
You know, I was really rather enjoying my time here before you two began looking for me. Life was comfortable and unchanging, and you've rather undone that. I should have seen it coming, but at least we've had this time together. My sister, I have enjoyed seeing you. You were always my favorite. I trust that when your next change comes, it proves easy on you.
Change?
This way.
My aardvark is fading away. Bye-bye, Cerberus.
My brother, there is no one like you. You also have changed more than even you know, I would suspect. Once you are done here, then where will you go?
There were matters left unfinished with my son.
Dream, you left matters unfinished with your son some thousands of years ago. Come on in. This is my old gallery. I've been dragging it around with me since I left my realm.
The walls of Destruction's gallery hold frames containing the familiar sigils of the Endless. But where there is a blank space in his siblings' galleries, here his frame holds a notched and battered sword. In the room's center is the scrying pool, about 6 feet across, its water churning, shooting tentacles up from the surface.
I don't even know why I've held on to it this long. Habit, I imagine. Sentiment. My brother, there is nothing I can give you save this. My advice. Remember what I did. Remember that I left. Remember how hard it was for me to leave, and that it was not your fault.
Destruction walks to Morpheus's sigil, the helm.
That is your advice?
Indeed it is. Remember.
I am not in the habit of forgetting things.
The helm dissolves to smoke under Destruction's hand.
Dream, my brother. You forget nothing you have interest in. You forget instantly those things you do not care to know.
He moves to stand in front of Death's Ankh.
Do you still blame yourself?
For what?
Because I left.
I never blamed myself.
No?
The Ankh has gone. Destruction touches Destiny's book. Delirium stands near her own sigil. The swirl of color in a frame. The swirl reflects her face like a dirty mirror.
What will you do now?
I will make the most of what I have got. I shall live out my days doing what I have to do, one day at a time. Life, like time, is a journey through darkness. I have no idea how long my span shall be. I need to keep the sword, of course, and the pool, but I'll leave everything else behind me. It will cease to exist soon enough.
He touches Desire's heart. It turns to smoke.
And you, sister, what should I give you?
I don't know. I didn't like the coffee. I can't say tiramisu or baklava or those things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could come and stay in my realm. You can live there with me and you can make me laugh and I'll do you little dances and... You won't, will you?
No. But you've given me an idea.
Destruction crouches by Barnabas, who sits, tail wagging, listening intently.
Barnabas, my friend, answer if you wish. Will you go with the Lady Delirium? Walk beside her. Tread the path that she treads also. Protect and lead and guide her.
I can't look after a doggy.
You misheard him. I get to look after you.
Oh?
Del, Barnabas can be a bit of a pain, and he has no poetry in his soul, but he means well.
Now, I resent that remark.
Of course you do. Well?
Can't I go with you?
You could not survive in the places I am traveling.